Good evening, family. How y'all doing? Today is a very special day for me because this is the day the Lord has made. And I am rejoicing and I'm glad in it. I'm going to struggle because I ain't cleaned my glasses before I came up here, so y'all bear with me, okay? Today is a very special day to me because tomorrow would make 9 years that I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Started at the old year out, new year in program in 2007. And this sermon that I'm going to deliver today was written at the old year out, new year in program in 2009. And I have only preached it once since then. I preached it down in St. Augustine. And it was a 45-minute sermon. And then I was told I was preaching in the evening, so I had to cut that 45 minutes down to 30. Then my preacher called me last night and said, "You good with 20. I'm going to talk about grace, y'all. God in his infinite grace gave me two brothers. I call Anthony my personal touch from God. Because whenever I need that comfort that God gives people, and I know I'm going to get it from somebody, right? I appreciate that, Brother Ellison. I know I can call my brother. Then I got a brother, Jer. He cut from a little different cloth. Am I right, Brother Cash? Everything I know about class and style and business, I learned from my brother. But see, God in his grace, he knew that wasn't going to be enough. So along around 2004, he sent me Emmett and Harold Hill as my brothers. Them guys, Dave is smart, man. Dave is super smart. I'm one of the smartest people I know. Harold, he a little more muscle. He a little more hands-on type brother, you know. And then, long around that 2007 mark, he sent me Bo Stroud. I call him a biblical encyclopedia because I can call him anytime and ask him anything about the Bible. He may not know it right then, but you ain't got but about 5 minutes before he call you back, and he got it. I love both of that. The ringleader of my grace team is my preacher. He, in my opinion, is the ultimate Lil Duval, living his best life. He ain't going back and forth with you. We can't say the N-word, so I call him Kanye. Is that what we call him in 2019? We ain't calling him the N-word. We're going to call him Kanye. He ain't going back and forth with you, Kanye. He'll talk to you all day long. But the argument ended with that first period, way back at the beginning of the conversation. Wasn't nothing else to be said after that. And I appreciate him so much for being like that. He blesses my life in ways that he never knows. Decisions I make, people I encounter, things that I do, many of them come from my preacher. And I give him the credit because I don't think I deserve any. But we're going to talk about grace. That's what God did for me. That's the grace that he gave me. See, grace is a lot of things to a lot of people. But the one thing grace is not, well, the things that grace is not, it's not predictable. It's not deserved. And most of all, it can't be expected. Grace is a unique thing. For those who don't understand grace, let me share a story with you. Young man comes home from the military and gets his parents' car and goes out with his friends and consumes way too much alcohol to be operating a motor vehicle, probably too much to be walking. Gets in the car, heading home, falls asleep. Car goes off of the freeway, 45, heading north, exit off the exit ramp at Cavalcade, drivers still sleep. Drives down the feeder, into the parking lot of a gas station, up on top of some rocks, knocks a sign over, and stops right there. Police pull up next to him. They lower their window down, look in and say, "You all right?" The driver says, "I'm just fine, officer." Officer lifts his window up and drives off. Send a wrecker back to pick him up. Nothing but the grace of God, amen? If you don't know what grace is, I'm going to show it to you this evening. That's all right with y'all. I ain't got but 20 minutes, y'all. See, I'm emotionally scarred from that. I told you about my brother Bo. When I first started preaching, Bo told us in the class, he said, now y'all got 5 minutes, and I got two signs. One says 1 minute, and the other one says stop. If I got to tell you a second time, we coming and sit you down. I'm emotionally scarred from that, so I got 14 minutes and some seconds left. We're going to talk about grace. Brother, read for me Ephesians chapter 2, begin at verse number 8.
For by grace are ye saved.
By grace are ye saved. Through?
Faith.
Faith. Let's stop right there, because I want to make a point effervescently clear for those who may be here today who may not be a member of the Church of Christ. We do a few things a little differently. So I want to make sure, because it might be that you've never heard the message the way that I'm going to deliver it. So I'm going to make sure that I am as clear and as plain as I can. I'm going to make this fourth grade clear, because I know I'm not smarter than a fifth grader. It says you are saved by grace through faith. Now, there's an interpretation, a literal translation of the word from the original Greek called the emphatic diaglot. You can find it on Google. It's a book, and it's a word-for-word translation of the Bible. The word here used in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, refers to the faith. So if you read that scripture with the meaning that the author intended, you are saved by grace through the faith. Now, there are preachers out there that will tell you, if you start with Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, what's the bald head fella they always tell me I look like up there in Dallas? Potter's House, what's his name? T.D. Jakes? I told my wife one day, I said, baby, there's a woman over there that said I look like T.D. Jakes. She said, did you tell her she looked like T.D. Jakes? T.D. Jakes, and I'm going to bring it a little closer to home and say Max Lucado. They say you can be saved by grace alone, which we've already shared. You can't predict grace. Salvation is predictable. If you follow the instructions in this book, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, you can predict the outcome because God's already told you what it's going to be, and that is you will be saved. There was nobody in this book saved any other way. Period. But we're talking about grace this morning. We ain't gonna go too far down that road. Grace, you are saved by the faith. And we all know, because we can flip in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, we know there is but one faith. Now, you can add to your faith by reading and studying. You can add to your faith, but you cannot add to the faith. Yeah. Turn for me to Titus, brother, 2. We're going to begin about verse number 11 in just a second. I just wanted to be clear about that, because people will tell you, all you have to do is repeat the sinner's prayer to be saved. And that's a fine thing to do, to say that you accept Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior. That is a wonderful thing for you to do. Of course, now, is 66 books in this Bible, and I can't find anybody who was ever saved that way, period. Talking about grace this morning, this evening. Grace is a powerful subject. Amen. Paul, on that Damascus road. Huh? When he was down on his knees, Christ asked him, why persecutest thou me? Paul was on his way down that road, not only to prosecute, he wanted to persecute people. He was locking them up for saying that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and it don't cost you nothing. Ain't nobody gonna lock you up today. I'm just wondering how many of y'all still listening. We're talking about grace, and you know what goes along with grace? Mercy. But people confuse the two. See, mercy is a little different, because you can ask for mercy. You can ask for mercy. Let me give y'all an example. Napoleon, the king, I heard this story once. of France had a lady come to him. Her boy was a reprobate, killing, robbing, doing all kinds of stuff. And she went to him. This is a praying woman here. She say, "King, my boy is on trial for his life, and you got every right to kill him for all he's done. But I'm asking you for mercy." Napoleon said, "Ma'am, all your son is done. Why in the world would I ever show him mercy?" The woman said, "Sir, because he does not deserve it, that is the very definition of mercy." I'll let y'all deal with that. Yeah. Mercy is when you don't deserve it, but you get it anyway. Yeah. "I know you was wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway." Yeah, that's what my God does for people. See, God, when he first dealt with this issue of grace, he did it in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." So before he asked any of us to do anything, he loved and he gave. That's grace. Yeah, that's grace. Read for me, brother.
"For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men."
Hold it. Has appeared to most men?
All men.
Some men?
All men.
A few men?
All men.
So the grace that's going to save you, everybody done seen it. Everybody's going to have that opportunity to make that decision, whether it's today or another day. See, grace woke you up this morning. Yeah. Grace helped you get out the bed this morning. Grace helped you get to your car. Grace brought you through the door. Grace set you down. Mercy will let you come back again. I'm just telling you what I believe down in my soul. Well, ain't nobody down there but me and God. Where I believe it is down in there. Yeah. When I'm talking to God and ain't nobody but me and him, these are the things we discuss, are the stuff that's in this book. Yeah. We ain't talking about no dreams. We ain't talking about what we heard. We ain't talking about what we feel. Yeah. We talking about what thus saith the Lord. Yeah. If it didn't come out of this book, where did it come from? Get for me Matthew chapter 7. Many will say to me in that day, that's the one I'm looking for, brother. Where we at? 21 through 23, ain't it? Yeah. Read that for me when you get it.
"Not everyone that said unto me."
Hold it. Not everyone. So it's going to be some. Okay, go ahead. Not everyone. So it's going to be some that's going to be different. Go ahead, brother.
"Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven."
So not everybody that says to me, "Lord, Lord," is going to get in. So we can reasonably infer, we can figure out from here that God is letting us know he talking to some folks that already believe. Yeah, he not talking to just anybody in this scripture. Read on, brother.
"But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?"
Stop right there. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" So these are people who have done things for the Lord in his name. What else did he do, brother?
"And in thy name have cast out devils?"
Ain't nobody in here cast out no devil. But these boys did. Read on.
"And in thy name done many wonderful works."
Not only did we prophesy, not only did we cast out demons, in your name, we've done wonderful things. So we're talking to Christians. Am I right about it? Read on, brother.
"And then will I profess unto them."
So I'm going to tell you something, Christians. The ones that prophesied in my name. Those that cast out demons in my name. Those who have done many wonderful works. What is he going to tell them?
"I never knew you."
I never knew you. Why? Because you are workers of
iniquity.
See, my preacher said I can't use big words like that. He said I got to splain them. He said say I got to explain them. Iniquity is something not authorized by God. It's real simple. It's not hard. It's not complicated. And I'm going to tell you the same thing I told those people at the funeral I preached last Sunday. I preach this way because my daddy was a member of the Garden Grove Christian Church. He was a Bible-believing man. He read his Bible almost every day. He would sit by the patio, and he'd take a little stand that he created himself, and he had his Bible sit there. He'd pull that patio window over. He would read every day. And I share this with you because I want you to understand. If you don't want to accept the truth that I'm delivering here today, or those who came after me, or those who came before me have delivered, send my daddy back. Let me give it to him. Send it back, and maybe my 20s won't be such a blur, and I can explain to him what thus saith the Lord about the salvation of his soul. Send my daddy back if you don't want to accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you don't want to accept his word that there is but one church. The Bible says, up on this rock I will build my church. Now, if I say Miss Kirby, or should I say Mrs. Kirby, it shouldn't be one hand go up in here, because that is my wife. And brother, if you don't understand, I'll be happy to explain to you right outside. Yeah, you ain't got no problem understanding that's my wife. If I carry the wallet, which I don't, I lay it right here. Wouldn't be no misunderstanding from any man in here whose wallet that was, would it? But if I say my church, everybody confused. I got 3 minutes, Brooks. Yeah. The name on the building outside is not the name of the people inside. It's a descriptive phrase denoting ownership. This is the church of Christ. It belongs to him. See, well, we're brother, let me tell you. It ain't nothing in a name. It ain't nothing in a name. Brother Freeman, how come ain't no named Jezebel in here then? How come ain't nobody in here named Adolf Hitler? Which one of y'all gonna name your son Trump? I'm just giving it to you like I believe it. It's something in a name. You know how I know? You know how I know it's something in a name? Because my book, this one right here I can read, tells me God thought his son was so special, he sent his name by an angel. You ain't gonna call my boy just anything. That name's so special that at that name, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, every tongue in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, the book of Philippians say. The one I read. Now, maybe yours say something different, but I believe in the King James Version. Yeah. It's something in a name. Well, what about John the Baptist? What about him? He was John the Baptist. That was his job. If you've been a truck driver, you've been John the truck driver. But he is John the baptizer because of what he did. There were no Baptists in the Bible. There were no Methodists in the Bible. There were no Episcopalians in the Bible. There were no Libertarians in the Bible. There were no Catholics in the Bible. And don't get me started on them. And then I struggle a little bit, but I don't have that problem because I'm not gonna do it. They say my pastor name is Reverend So-and-so, my pastor name is Reverend So-and-so. Psalms 111 and verse number 9 says, holy and reverend is God's name. I ain't equalizing no man and no woman to God. I'm gonna let you do that. Let me know how it's working out for you. Now they say, if a person is in a burning house, you drag him out through the window, cut his legs and back all up and break his arm,
but you saved his life. I'm just asking this morning, you going to be mad at me? I saved your life. Don't worry about answering right now. I'll wait. Yeah. It's the truth. People will tell you, well, you don't have to follow. Y'all just so little in the church, literal in the church of Christ. It's the spirit of what's intended in there. If I'm watching a movie about Biggie Smalls or Tupac, I don't mind it being based on their life. When they do the movie about OJ, I don't mind it being based on his life. But when it comes to my salvation, I don't want it based on the Bible. I want it in here. I want to be able to read it for myself. Amen. 20 minutes and 50 seconds. Can I finish? Thank you, preacher. I want to make sure that, because, you know, if you tell a person that you love them, but you don't tell them the truth, that's a recipe for failure. And it's shallow of you to do that. But if I tell you the truth, but I don't have any love in it, I'm just being brutal. So I want everybody in here to know, let me say it with a smile. I'm speaking the truth in love. I ain't trying to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm not trying to cause anybody any stress and discomfort. But if I do, and it saves your soul, I'm going to ask the question again. Are you still mad at me? Yeah. I'm just going to tell you what I believe. I believe in the story, 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1. I believe in the story of how a Savior came from glory. Yeah, they drove nails in his hands. They drove nails in his feet. This was after they sent him to 3-rig trials. The guards, when they were sitting around after they whipped him, blindfolded and took turns slapping him. Now, if you really Jesus, tell us which one slapped you. People walking by as he's hanging up there. If you really Jesus, if you are the King of the Kings, if you are who you say you are, have a legion of angels bring you down. They cast lots for his clothes. Yeah. And this guy was perfect, had never committed a single crime. He had done nothing wrong to nobody. Read for me, brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1.
Moreover, brother.
Moreover. Hold on. Let's address that word. Because a lot of people don't understand. They skip over it. That's a very important word. See, he said moreover. That means I already told y'all some things already. See, I already told y'all to sit your women down in the church house. They ain't supposed to be up preaching. I already told y'all that earlier in my letter. I told y'all you are all to speak the same thing. No division of money. I already told you that. I told you not to be sleeping with your stepmama in the church. I done told you that. Then you get to that word, moreover. See, for those who don't understand, I'm going to explain to you real simple. Where's Earlene? Is Earlene? No. You know when you done told somebody off, you've been at home, you're thinking about it, and you done told them off. Real good. Everything you thought about back at the house, you got it all off your chest. And you heading out the door. And you get to the door, and that last thing hits you. And another thing. That's what moreover means. That's what moreover means. And another thing. It's still the truth. Yeah. Moreover,
brethren, I declare unto you the gospel.
I'm going to tell you what this is all about. Read on.
Preached unto you.
Now, hold on. I already told you this, so I ain't telling you nothing you don't know. Read on.
Which also ye have received.
Now, you got it, and I know you got it, because that's what you stand on as your foundation for this church. Read on.
And wherein ye stand.
Read on.
By which also ye are saved.
And that same gospel that you stand on is what's saving you. Keep reading.
If you keep in memory what I preached
now,
unto you.
Now, that's unless you didn't really believe it. See, when you got that woman, been dating a guy for a little while, and she drag him in the church, say, I ain't going no further with you till you go down in the water. Let me tell y'all something. When he went down, he was a dry devil. When he came up, he was a man convinced against his will and of the same opinion still. I'm gonna let y'all deal with that. Yeah, he was a man convinced against his will and of the same opinion still. Ain't nothing changed about it. These men were not of that sort. Keep reading.
Unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all.
See, the first thing I gave you is what somebody gave me.
That which I also received.
It wasn't mine. I ain't make this up. I ain't have no dream. I wasn't laying on my couch and my heart and chest opened up and Jesus appeared to me. Somebody delivered this to me. I told you where it was. It was on the Damascus Road when he was on his way to prosecute other Christians. That's when it was delivered to him. God sent a preacher to him. Say, Paul, Saul, what you doing down there? Get up. Why tearest thou? What are you waiting for, Paul? Read on, brother.
How did Christ die for our sins according to the scriptures?
So, Paul says, the message that I want you to get, if you don't get anything else I'm delivering to you, I want to make sure that you understand this one more thing. Read that part again, brother.
How that Christ died for our sins.
See,
according to the scriptures.
According to the scriptures. He's not telling you about what Paul feel. Paul ain't felt nothing. Mm-hmm. Paul ain't, let me drop this off. I know I'm getting close to my time. I got 3.5 minutes left. Y'all name for me Titus's first lady. I'm waiting. Timothy? Nobody? Peter? None of them had no first ladies. Well, then I submit to you this morning that calling someone first lady is iniquity because it's not authorized by God.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, hold up, brother. Look here, bro. Tell me something. What Paul and them whole choir practice? Brother Tim, you heard? I know Brother Tim read the Bible. I don't even have to guess about that. But Cash, Titus hold any choir practice? You heard about? No, me neither. My book says, sing and make melody in your heart. Yeah. And see, you know he's talking about no mechanical instruments of music, because if you want to, I can take you back to Psalm where he said they made melodies with viols. So it is a distinct difference. See, we here at the Church of Christ believe in taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. See, I'm going to drop this nugget, and then I'm going to take my seat. Somebody told somebody somewhere, and I'm sure we can figure out where. Somebody told somebody somewhere you only need to take communion on the first Sunday of the month. My book says up on the first day of the week. First one. How many weeks got a first day?
Every week.
So we're going to take it on the first Sunday? What about the second one? They got a first day?
Mm-hmm.
What about the third one? Fourth one? Fearful? Well, let me tell you, here at the Church of Christ, especially this one here at Holland Heights, if they find a month with more Sundays than that, we're going to take it then too. But I want you to ask yourself this one question. Why is it okay? Why do they understand completely one part of the scripture, but the other one they're lacking on? They can't understand the first day of the week when it comes to your salvation and taking the Lord's Supper. But I bet you one thing, they don't miss a Sunday getting that money. You ain't got enough in your pocket. We'll pass that plate till you come back from the car with your checkbook. Here at Holland Heights, we're going to pass that plate one time. And Christians going to give right then. And if they don't, that's between them and God. Because my God don't need you. Psalms say, God said, if I was hungry, you couldn't even feed me. What do I need your offerings for? I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. All these birds mine. That's what Psalm say. Well, I read it. I don't need your money. I'm just, excuse me, Brooks, I'm just going to preach today if it's all right with you. I'm going to tell the truth. Once you've heard that story, read the last part of it, brother, so we can make sure we're clear on it.
And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures.
So when they put him in the grave, after they tortured, hung him, and killed him, they sealed it with a stone. They put guards outside to make sure his disciples didn't come and steal his body out and say he was alive. But see, I know, and I know Tommy knows, it's something about a mother's love, ain't it, brother? It's something about a mother's love. Early that Sunday morning, his mama went to check for her boy to make sure he was all right. But when she got there, the stone was moved and the angel was sitting there. Said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Yeah, death nor grave could hold my Savior, thus proving he is the Son of God. Yeah, ain't nobody else been to the grave and back. Only been one. And if you were willing to believe that story, we'll ask you to confess that with your mouth right here before this audience. Say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to make that confession, we're going to baptize you. Today. We're not going to wait till we get a bunch of you. We're not going to wait to baptize on Sunday, because we believe that salvation is obtained only through baptism. My brother already been baptized once. Well, there were some folks in Acts chapter 19. I don't have the time to go into all the scripture of it, but those folks were baptized, and when they were told the truth about their baptism, they were baptized again. So I got scripture for you if you're struggling with that part of it. Hear the gospel. Believe the gospel. Then you're asked to repent. What does repent mean? You got to make sure that what you're doing in your life lines up with what's in this book. Period. That's repentance. Now, is that going to happen day one? Probably not. Day two? Probably not. But what you do is you keep coming. You keep learning. You keep studying your Bible to show yourself approved. And over time, things will change. Hear, believe, repent. We've talked about your confession. We've talked about your baptism. I've told you enough today that if you're really seeking to make heaven your home, which I can't figure another reason you'd be in this building. I can't think of no other reason you'd want to be here except you're trying to make heaven your home. I've given you enough in my 32 minutes and 49 seconds. I have given you enough today. Now, I've talked to those who are not members of the church. I'm going to talk to some who are in. This might be somebody here today that's a guilty distance from God. You know your life ain't right. It ain't because Brother Kirby know. It ain't because Brother Brooks know. Or anybody else in this church know. But you and God know. It's time to get that right. Don't wait till you come back through here with your feet pointing up and your head laying low. As my mama used to say, sad singing and flower bringing behind you. Yeah, don't wait to the end. Just because grace brought you in don't mean mercy gonna bring you back. Yeah, grace. I'm through, y'all. If you're subject to the safest invitation, I ask that you stand and sing with us and step forward.